All right, I'm not going to make a habit of this because there's no point. There's not pleasing sounds like opening the lock at my Airbnb in Fukuoka. But here's exiting the little restaurant ASMR. Oh, out onto the street. It's always kind of a surprise what the day is going to be like because there's not really a proper window in there. Pretty overcast. Do I even feel sprinkles? I think I do. Oh, I'm just looking from the outside. Looks like the people that have private rooms, they do get windows. Lucky bastards. But yeah, it is raining a little bit. Yeah, I've still got my collapsible umbrella from Canada, but one of the spokes is kind of broken, so it falls, you know, kind of limply. And I tried to fix it. I bought some tape from a dollar store, from a 100-yen store. But it turns out it's a lot harder. You can't just tape up an umbrella that's meant to fold in on itself. Too many mechanisms. That did not work at all. But I don't know, it's really barely raining. It's really not worth an umbrella. Anyway, last night, the restaurant that my Airbnb is above, it was actually open for the first time ever on a Thursday night. It was pretty fucking hopping. Bunch of people in there drinking sake, eating mushrooms. It was like a guy hosting, and I don't know, it was like a little weird just because it's a very small place. And I just kind of walked in and walked right past everybody and walked through a side door up into the Airbnb. Yeah, and obviously the guy who runs the place, this was normal for him. But I wonder, I don't know, none of the customers seem to notice. Maybe they're all regulars. Because I guess that is kind of a thing in Japan, like these little tiny bars. There's this one by Ikebukuro, I probably mentioned it when I was there. It looks so cool. It's like four seats. And it's one of these places where you buy, like you pay for a whole bottle of liquor and they put your name on it. And then when you come by, you just drink out of that. And then when it comes time to refill, that's when you pay. Just seems really cool to be a little regular at one of them places. Except I would need one that doesn't sell booze. It's like, hey, I'll just overpay for espresso or something. I don't know how it would even work. I don't know. Like, I'll pay you the booze prices. I just don't want the booze, you know? But yeah, it's kind of interesting how much you can kind of, you can do a little research. You can kind of do some detective work and learn about these places because I've never met the guy who runs it. And other Airbnb people have said that the guy who runs that restaurant is very friendly and nice and helpful and stuff, but he was busy doing a mushroom sake presentation when I went in, so no time for me to become his best friend forever. But yeah, by looking through Airbnb reviews or just the reviews on Google Maps, that's kind of interesting too. That's a separate set of reviews. So it looks like this place started about 5 years ago. So again, just before COVID. This must be the most annoying time to start a place. And that the restaurant on the bottom floor is a completely different thing. Different guy runs it, different whole situation. And weirdly, it seems like the people who got private rooms actually have the worst times, the worst experiences. They have some kind of bad reviews of just like, yeah, there was a weird smell and it was coming from the air conditioner. And when I opened it, it was full of black mold. It's like, Jesus. And then they said, you know, to the person's credit, whoever runs it, like they got it professionally cleaned like the next day, but still... But I think that falls into line with the vibe I was getting at first. It really seems like everybody cared a lot 5 years ago. But now it's just been 5 years of just cleaning up the stupid fucking Airbnb every day and just like cleaning up after all these fucking tourists. And, you know, you can just tell they're not putting their all into it anymore. Just random stuff not working. Everything's a little half-assed, whatever. It must be different if you ran like a bed and breakfast back in the day where you kind of make some kind of a connection with the people that you're looking after and whatever, which is not necessarily even what I would want. But as a host, I bet it's a lot more fulfilling. You know, where here it really is just people coming in, people going out. If somebody doesn't have quite the best experience, who the fuck cares? There's someone else coming right in. Which, speaking of, I figured, man, Friday is usually when Airbnbs get slammed. That's what happened at the one in Sanganjaya. Like, it was busy, and then it just became completely 100% full for the weekend. So I guess that could still happen tonight, but it's Friday as I record this. And I figured, like, for sure, the people who are here presently... I knew Daniel from Vancouver was heading out because he told me he was only here for 3 days. But surely they won't leave for the weekend. How would that even make sense? The weekend's the money melon. The weekend's the time that normal people care about. You know, to me, it's just another day, but to them, that's the day. But everybody's gone. Medium snorer across from me is gone. And importantly, crazy, insane, I'm an orc from fucking Dungeons and Dragons snorer underneath me. That was like the dual bunk, where that one was just so confusing. It was two people, and one of them was like getting up at 4 a.m. to go get dressed for business. Maybe that guy got a job and got them an apartment in the last day. I don't know. But everybody's gone, and I'm like, hey, man, all right. I mean, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see who comes in. We'll see what results from this. But it's certainly not a bad thing to lose all of these nightmare snorers. Like this one person beneath me. I've never heard snoring quite like this before, where it was just such slow, gradual snoring, but just the, you know, inner flaps, the folds of the throat, whatever the fuck it is. Like, it sounded like farting. It was just like... But inward, you know? They did that by breathing in somehow. I can't even do that. And it was really loud. Just over and over. It's like, what the hell? It's sort of weird because, like, I usually just put on rain sounds to help fall asleep, but it's like a half hour thing and then it ends. And presumably at that point I'm asleep. If I'm not, then it's, you know, it's like, hey, you've been trying to fall asleep for half an hour. Maybe you should give up. But in this case, I got to just put it on the loop and turn it up louder than I usually do, because it is much easier to sleep through loud rain noises than loud snoring. At least it's consistent, you know? You just kind of get used to it, and it dulls the other sounds. Or, like, sudden sounds wake me up very easily. So if it's quiet for a bit and then someone starts snoring, that's bad, because that'll wake me up. But if it's mixed in, if it has been rain sounds the whole time, and then mixed in with the rain is the snoring, then I'm probably fine. But it's a weird feeling to wake up after hours and hours and hours and the sound's still going. And it's like, man, that's been blasting in my ears this whole time. That is weird. But it seems like the only way to handle things, because earplugs, they ain't enough. They don't do it. Not good enough. But yeah, Daniel from Vancouver, the guy I met as I was checking in, he was checking in at the same time and I helped him get inside. I kind of got his whole life story all of a sudden right at the end. Because I saw him, like, I think one other time. But today, as he was leaving, he made a point to say fairly well. And yeah, it's like, I was like, all right, cool. So what are you up to now? And he's like, well, I'm going to such and such a place because that's where the arrangements for the funeral are happening. And then I got to go over to this other neighborhood because I got to see about getting my citizenship. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, Dan. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know you were here for a funeral. I was aware that he was Asian, but I mean, just because he's from Vancouver, there's no, certainly no presumption that he's Japanese. There are many, many colors in the rainbow of Vancouver. But anyway, we chit-chatted a bit about how I went to Akihabara, and he told me he went somewhere else, and now I forget what he said, because I was thinking, like, oh, I guess I could have done that today, but I don't know. Anyway, some kind of gardens, maybe? Imperial. Maybe he went to the Imperial Palace, which, I mean, I've been there. I've been there already. I've done that. I didn't go in. I just walked around it. But yeah, we exchanged email addresses. And it's one of those things that, I mean, I don't know what I'd ever do with it. I don't know when I would ever drop him a line or vice versa. You know, I have a feeling it's one of these things. Or, well, that's it. Nice to meet you. Single-serving friend. Glad I could help you get in. Nice to yammer to somebody who, again, no offense to Japan, but it is nice to yammer to somebody who can speak English. That's just nice. I don't hate that. I did end up buying a kebab from Akihabara last night, and it was a pain. Anything like in a wrap, anything in a in a pita or a burrito. I'm just so bad at eating them. They just fall apart in my hands. But it was nice to just order from a guy who just, hey, yeah, this guy definitely speaks English. It's like, how nice. Man, am I going to regret this? No, don't get it. I'm just looking at this, you know, Georgia coffee. It's like the Coke brand. It's not that great. It's Max Coffee. It's like coffee with extra caffeine in it. And it's like, no, that's not what you don't want that. Just go. Just because you haven't had coffee yet today, you can get some soon enough. But yeah, I think the exchanging of emails was more just like, it's more a sign of goodwill of like, hey, thanks for helping me get into the place or whatever. And then I was like, all right, well, have fun on your remaining adventures. But then immediately my brain said, hey, he just told you he's heading to a funeral soon. So I had to add, you know, obviously not all of it will be fun, but you know, like overall. He said, yeah, okay, cool, thank you. But as for today, yeah, I guess this doesn't really change my plans or lack thereof, because it's really not raining that hard. And yeah, I figure I'll just keep my umbrella with the broken spoke just in case of emergencies, just in case the sky opens up all of a sudden, just because it can be collapsed down enough to keep it on me. Where I'm still envious of other people's big, long and tall umbrellas. You know, they got some umbrellas around here. They got just regular size umbrellas too, but they got some that are real big and they're real nice, but they're also really long and awkward. Unless I did some Oswald Cobblepot shit, you know, and just made it into a fucking walking cane or something. I don't know, I thought maybe I'd walk south to Tokyo Bay and just see what happens, but I kind of know what's going to happen. Like nothing, right? It's not going to be good. You can't really approach the bay. You know, if it's anything like Chiba, it's just going to be a industrial nightmare. But I don't know. I might try that anyway. We'll see. And yeah, the reason I haven't had a coffee, I was going to buy one of the brown sugar coffees from the 100 yen machine that I found yesterday. Star vending brand. That's about star level selling of things, not starving and ending. Very awkward name. But then I was looking in the machine and they had a lemon and yuzu drink. And I was like, aha, yuzu. I learned about yuzu in Fukuoka because I nabbed a lemon off a tree, an unaffiliated tree in the countryside. I feel like I should add that. I didn't steal from any particular person's lemon tree. And even if I did, it was for science. And the science that I learned is that it wasn't a lemon. It was like bitter and grapefruity. And I was like, what the heck is this? And that's when I learned that there's a lemon-like fruit called yuzu that tastes bitter. And I was like, fucking amazing. It's so weird, so cool. So I saw this lemon and yuzu drink and I'm like, sweet, dude, maybe that'll be like a weirdly bitter lemon drink? What the heck is this? But again, I didn't want to drink it that night because I just don't want to have to get up to pee a lot when I'm in this communal Airbnb. So it came out of the machine warm, and I guess that's probably how I was supposed to drink it, maybe like Neo Citrin or something. But I just kept it stashed away and drank it this morning. But it wasn't really that bitter. The yuzu part was very mild. Which I guess is the same with lemon. Lemonade and stuff doesn't actually taste like lemon, it just tastes like sugar. So I guess it tastes, I guess, the way you would, I guess, actually expect it to taste. But it basically just tasted like lemonade. It was fine. But I was hoping for a blast of yuzu. Hook me up. Hook me up with something weird and bitter, and that is not what it was. And it had no caffeine in it. So yeah, that's where it's like, I gotta get me some coffee. But if I go to the mini stop, was it mini stop? No, it's Daily Yamazaki. I'm gonna get me some bread for actually, I think I dawdled enough at that Airbnb that it's a little past noon, so I guess this is my lunch. Oh yeah, that's the other thing I noticed today, kind of, again, as interesting as anything is in this podcast, I guess, so it's fine. Because so many people were leaving the Airbnb, they had to flip it, you know, they had to clean it up. So I was just in my bunk with my little curtain closed, doing some computery stuff. So I could really only hear what was going on, but it was kind of interesting too, because I got a couple little insights into how they clean stuff, at least in a Japanese Airbnb. Because, like, it does seem a little different. I feel like in North America, with hotels and stuff, and probably Airbnbs, it's kind of like you just wash all the linens, you just change everything. Not the mattress, but everything else. Where I noticed even in 2019, it's a little different in Japan just because there's more of this futon culture. So it's not necessarily let's throw every single thing into a washing machine every single time. It does seem like some of their cleaning methods are a little different, and maybe what we would sort of consider not cleaning methods, you know? I can't say for sure, but that's just the feeling I was getting a little. And this was a bit like that, where I heard a lot of, like, a huge part of this process was definitely lint rollers, you know, those things you can get at, like, the dollar store or whatever, that it's just like a plastic stick and it's got sticky tape on it, and you roll it over your clothes or over whatever to pick up lint or dog hair, because it was like roll, 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 tear, roll, 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 tear, roll, 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 tear, like a million times. But that does make sense. I mean, that's a pretty good technique if you are just kind of leaving the fundamental bedding as it was. Whether or not it's actually clean or not, it certainly will look clean if you lint roll it all the heck and it's just, you know, looks pristine. But it is one of those things too where you don't want to think about the person who was sitting on the toilet right before you. You don't want to think about the person who was in a place before you. You like to just imagine that somehow magically everything was just perfect, as though you're like the first person, even though someone else was on that toilet 2 minutes ago, someone else was in this Airbnb a few hours ago, whatever. You know, it's like, whatever, just don't overthink it, it's fine. But then the other thing I thought was kind of interesting is after all the stuff got cleaned, I heard the very distinctive click of a cell phone camera taking a picture, which I don't think mine does that. I think that's a Japan thing, right? For to make sure that you're not taking sneaky creep pics of people and stuff. So yeah, let me just take a picture of this wall. Yeah, no sound. No sound in North America. But yeah, it had the shutter sound of three pictures being taken, and I guess, yeah, it must be, oh, this must be as the cleaner person is reporting back to whoever owns the place. Here it is, I cleaned this bunk, I cleaned this bunk, I washed the shower, I did all this. Like, you must have to just take pictures and email them. Which I gotta admit, it really does make sense of, like, it'd be nice to just trust that everybody did their work. But why trust when you could know? Just passing by the museum, I didn't look at the front of it last time. I can't tell if it's pretty or ugly. It's got a lot of glass windows, but I'm gonna lean toward ugly. It's got all these weird poles sticking out at an angle, and these weird wire mesh statues spinning around, and some guy taking a picture of it just because it's at a fucking museum. Yeah, nah. But that must mean I'm on the right route. That daily Yamazaki's around here somewhere. I'm just walking through this nice little park that is, you know, the fall colors are really starting to happen. I mean, I guess it's just that the trees in Japan are only, well, no, I guess not. I was going to say they're half evergreen and half not, but there are some over here that are partially changed still. But mostly at this point, it seems like the trees that are going to change color are changing color. And it's very nice looking. It's very pretty. I know it's not the amazing cherry blossoms, but I'm sure this is still pretty good. And this, I don't know if, no, I guess it does. I was going to say, I don't know if you could say fall leaves really fall into being a, like, Canadian sensibility thing, but yeah, we got a fucking maple leaf. Our goddamn flag looks like a fall fucking leaf. Like, I think it's safe to say that this speaks to my Canadian heart, even though it is a phenomenon that happens all over the place. But I saw a guy at this park sitting on a bench with his laptop, which is, I did that a couple days ago, but it was clear skies. Today it is just sleet, not gray, but like a light, well, it's not blue. It's not gray, it's not blue, it's not white. It's just nothing. It's just a void of nothing in the sky. Bright nothing. It's the bright version of the incredible darkness at night. And yeah, it's not raining at this very moment, but that guy, it's a brave fucking guy. It's been kind of misting all day. So I didn't even get what I expected to get at Daily Yamazaki. I can't remember what I saw yesterday that caught my eye. But anyway, today they had like a breaded chicken sandwich thing. And I got like a hot dog with all these hot peppers and stuff on it. And it was kind of good, the same way getting like the kebab thing was kind of good yesterday. Just as like a jump back to little North America. Every once in a while, I mean, I am starting to get that impulse now that I've been in Japan for a while of like, ah, geez, what if I just went to Wendy's or something? So I got a little taste of that feeling. And it was good, but yeah, just like the grease on my fingers, and I'm just like, I gotta go find a washroom. And of course, there's never soap in the washrooms, but at least wet my hands and then wipe them on my pant leg or something. Just this grease. God, get off me, grease. And yeah, I'm sure if you live in Japan, it's nice to have, oh, once in a while, let's go get a hot dog. Let's go get a fucking chicken burger. Let's just do this type of thing. You know, McDonald's is extremely popular here as well. Just to have a nice change from traditional Japanese food. What am I saying, traditional? I think it's safe to say 7-Eleven food is not traditional, but it's the new tradition. It's new traditional. Because for me, it made me realize, like, nah, I'm not going to be in Japan that much longer. Time's going to go by really fast. Even if I'm just eating onigiri and ginger soy mackerel and even noodles, you know, even just ramen or whatever, even if that's all I'm eating all the time. Take advantage of it now while you're here, while you can. The ramen is not that big a deal, but it kind of is, because ramen here, it's just better. Even if you're just eating convenience store ramen, because, you know, you can get like an egg from the convenience store, and they have like some of these weird eggs that have like absorbed some kind of sauce. Again, it might just be soy sauce, I don't know, but so they're like black, and you can get all this cool weird stuff. It's just better, you know. So yeah, I think it's I'd be better off eating that stuff while I can, while I'm here, while it's easily accessible. With like a month or so to go, I think this was the appropriate time to just be like, yeah, fuck it, give me some fried bullshit, let's do that. But then upon eating it, and it was pretty good, I mean, I'm not complaining, it was well made, it was like pretty tasty, but it's like, yeah, no. The last 4 years in New Brunswick, Canada, where all I could eat were chicken burgers and shit, because that's all they have, that came back in a flood. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not, I guess I don't miss that. So I made it over to the Sumida, and I'm just going to walk south and see what happens. Since I was thinking about heading down to Tokyo Bay anyway, this basically kind of takes me in that direction. And I get to walk next to some water. Since it's such an overcast day, it's kind of cool looking, the sky tree. I can't see the top. It just disappears into a fuzzy haze about 4/5 of the way up, just above the big main observation deck. And yeah, it's actually a cool vibe. This really feels like coastal. This feels like, despite the fact that it must be past 1 o'clock now. Yeah, it's about 1:30, but it feels like 6 a.m. It feels like I got up early and went down to the shoreline, you know, in like fucking St. Andrews or something. Instead of the beautiful, bright lights at night of everything all lit up and everything all beautiful, this is just totally plain, just the plain river. And there's not even really people. I guess the rain probably scared them away earlier. It's like one person way down far ahead of me and one lady who just passed me. But usually there's joggers when I'm here in the evening. It's just nonstop joggers, people jogging everywhere. And yeah, that tower, as I walk away, it's just getting more and more disappearing. It's like that Stephen King story, The Mist, that they turned into a movie with a new ending, which was terrible. I hated the ending, but the short story didn't have an ending. It just ended ambiguously with, like, who knows what we will do in this new world of The Mist. So I guess I can't complain. At least the movie had an ending, but it sure was fucking stupid. But anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. It looks cool is what I'm trying to say. The tower really looks like it looks like it's from an oil painting or something. It just doesn't look real. It really looks big. You know, when something disappears into the clouds, that's the sign of bigness. That's what made me think of The Mist. There were these monsters in The Mist, where in The Mist, it's just the world gets enveloped by mist. It was supposed to be mysterious, but I think it was later revealed that it was all tied into the Dark Tower or something. Nothing makes a mystery more entertaining than to just explain it. But in the original, mysterious mist takes over the world, and they're stuck in this supermarket, and outside are monsters, and they just don't know what to do. But at the end, when some of the people finally leave the supermarket, and they're driving along, and they see these creatures that are so big they can only see their legs, like dinosaurs, but even bigger. And they can't even fathom how big this thing is or what it even looks like, because it just disappears up into the mist. That's what the Sky Tree looks like right now. It's fucking cool. Yeah, I like this vibe. I don't know, it's weird. It doesn't feel like an overcast gray day. It just feels like a cool fisherman day. Down by the water, down by the docks. Feels weirdly good. Oh yeah, one just weird little thing I wanted to mention about Yuzu. Since I learned, you know, that yuzu exists, this fucking magical fruit, and just like wonder how many fruit there are in the world and vegetables and just stuff that I've never heard of before. It just still kind of blows my mind in some ways that you can just be an adult and just not know about certain fruits and vegetables. This weird feeling. But when I was still in my fancy pants digs in Fukuoka, I did a little phone home, because it's like, all right, won't really be able to do that while I'm packed in with people, so why not? Why not call home? And I asked my mom if she ever heard of yuzu before. And this kind of surprised me. She said that she did because my dad went on a kick at one point of just trying to buy fruits and vegetables he'd never heard of, you know? So I guess I'm a chip off the old block, but I was surprised to hear that because my dad famously did not like trying weird stuff, you know? I mean, he would buy anything from the supermarket that said new, but it wasn't really new, you know, it's just some new frozen enchilada or something. It's not actually different or weird in any way. But yeah, he went on this phase of buying all this stuff to try out, and my mom was like, there was one called Ugly Fruit with an I. And I was like, for real? Ugly Fruit? But I looked it up. That's only one of its names. It has an official name, but it is known also as Ugly Fruit. And I can't remember what she said it tasted like, but I mean, what the hell? You know, not only is there stuff I don't know about that I've never heard of, but it has the weirdest fucking names in the world. I just walked across a bridge and I was just on this little, I guess I'm still there for now, but still just on this little island, just this little island mini city. Like, I don't know, how big is this thing? Not very big, I don't know, like 10 blocks? I could be wrong, that's just a weird estimate. But it's not huge. And I found a nice little Tully's and I got a matcha latte, crammed myself in the corner because it was all busy because of the rainy day, I assume. And man, this is one thing, it's just a little thing, but it's so nice when you're prepared for this stuff. It's like makes it not a big deal when it would have totally sucked otherwise. Is just being crammed in and having to duck around people, and I'm like squeezed into the corner and it's just like awkward. And I accidentally knocked over my stupid latte, and luckily like the top didn't come off or anything. It just a bit of matcha liquid came out of the little spout at the top, but enough to make like a little puddle on the floor. And the lady sitting next to me just did the classic Japanese, don't acknowledge this. Don't even act like nothing even happened. Act like you didn't see anything, which is like, at the same time, like, okay, I guess that's actually not the worst thing. just let me handle this and that's fine, I guess. But it still does feel a bit weird. You know, in North America, I can't really predict what a person would say, but they'd say something. You know, we'd make a little joke about it or something. But luckily, in my little day bag, I've gotten so used to having this thing. It's so nice. It's essentially a purse, you know? I mean, I guess it's just a less feminine version of a purse. Sure is handy. This thing, it's not that big, but it's really got everything I need in it. Like last night when I got the 7-Eleven mackerel on the way home, and the lady didn't offer me chopsticks, but I was like, that's okay, because I'm quite sure I have chopsticks in this little bag. Turns out I do not, but I do still have my little plastic fork that I haven't used since I was at Yoyogi Park. And I'm like, good enough. Used my plastic fork to eat it. When I got back to the Airbnb, I washed off the plastic fork, tucked it back in there. And if I do end up with a spare pair of disposable chopsticks, I'll put them in here too. But one thing that's in here is I bought one of those little 10 packs of just like moist towelette type things. And I just had those in case I should come across a washroom that doesn't have toilet paper, which never happens. It happened one time at a random ass park in Fukuoka, and that's it. It hasn't happened since, so I actually forgot that I had this thing, because it's like zippered away in a little side pouch. And I guess I could have used it this morning when I had gross grease all over my fingers. I just kind of forgot. But as soon as I spilled the matcha, it's like then my brain kicked in. It's like, okay, potential social shame happening right now. Quick, spring into action. And immediately my brain remembered, hey, in the side pouch, you got that thing. You've never even opened it. So I'm like, cool, you're right. I open up the thing, the little 10 pack. I used like half of them and I just cleaned up the whole mess like perfect. Like it never happened. Because otherwise I would have had to go all the way ducking through people to the front counter. And the napkins they had were just like the very smallest, thinnest, lightest. I would have had to use like fucking 50 of them. It would have been awful. Instead, I just cleaned it all up. If anything, the floor was cleaner when I was done. And it's just like, yeah, nice. Even though I didn't use these little wipes for what I thought I might need them for. But that's a good thing to have on you, dude. Just have a little pack of fucking wet wipes in your little day pouch. I would consider that necessary, even if they're almost never important. The times when they are important, they're dang important. So yeah, I hung out there, did some computery shit till my computer was almost dead. Not a lot of places to plug in your computer in Japan, but, you know, in a way it's not bad. It's a good arbiter of, like, that's a good way to still have the sort of, hey, just hang out, inviting vibe, but also the, hey, but don't just stay here forever. Because, I mean, I was there for at least 2 hours. Maybe more than that. I don't know. Definitely if I'm rendering videos and stuff, it just eats up my computer battery like crazy. I must have been doing something to eat up my battery, because it got eaten up a little faster than it should. But anyway, good timing though. Because then when I came out, now it's nighttime. And from the center of this little island, I just walked over to, just kind of followed the lights now. It was really pretty in the daytime with the cool mist, but there's just, you just can't beat the lights. The lights at night, I mean, they're just, I just have to, it has to be the prettier way to see Japan, because the daytime's amazing, but the night is just, I don't know, it's just insane how cool it looks. So I saw some lights strung up on like a little shopping street, so I just gravitated naturally toward them, which is like, ah, pretty beautiful. And walked through a little park, and then up some steps over a little seawall. And then boom, back to the water, back to like, it's all like canals in between these islands. And it's just boom, like it just hits you, like all the buildings are lit up. And then the bridges. I don't think bridges are lit like this in North America. They have like utilitarian lighting, but these have lighting, both the bridges I'm looking at, like lighting all the way across them. One of them is yellow and green. The other one is purple and white. It just looks so fucking cool. And that was going to be enough. I was just going to say, like, man, so beautiful. But as I've been walking between two of these buildings in the distance, I'm like, is that the Tokyo Tower? I've never been to the Tokyo Tower. I don't quite know where it is. But I'm finding that stuff in central Tokyo is a lot more walkable than I thought it was. Everything's a lot closer than I thought it was. I was just walking toward this purple and white bridge because it looked pretty. And I was like, I'll just go cross over there, whatever. I think it's kind of sort of taking me back where I need to go, but I'm in no hurry to get back to the Airbnb. So who cares? I'll just walk wherever's prettiest, and then I'll catch up on where I am later, whenever. Who cares? But yeah, it's like, of course, with the nature of towers, maybe it's not that close, but I'm like, I think that's Tokyo Tower. So, I mean, I could mosey in that direction. Why not? A misty day would be a perfect day to see it. But then, I've never heard tell of this phenomenon, but if that is the Tokyo Tower, I don't know what else it could possibly be. It has to be. It's not easy to see from where I am right now. There's like these two buildings that I can almost see it right between. From here, though, it's kind of hidden behind a building. But anyway, to my left is Tokyo Tower. But over to my right, behind another lit-up archway type thing, very hard to see, way in the distance, in the mist, is the fucking Skytree. I'm looking at the Tokyo Tower and the Skytree at the same time, right? Well, not at the same time, because I have to turn my head. But from a single vantage point. Is that a thing you can do? Is that a common thing? Like, I wonder if there's, like, specific points that are known in Tokyo where you can see both. Or did I discover it? In case I discovered it, let me figure out exactly where I am. Let me tell you what it's called. So I can... It can be confirmed or denied by future historians. Tsukishima Monja Street is where I was. Tsukishima Street. And Tsukishima Station is right there. So I'm just in the northwestern shore from Tsukishima Station. Near the Kachidoki Bridge is the one I'm looking at. That's the purple and white one. And the yellow and green, for some reason, does not have a name that it wishes to tell me. Yeah, holy fuck, it's right there. Tokyo Tower. Tokyo Tower this way, Skytree that way. Yeah, dude, that's really close. I'm going to the Tokyo Tower, dogs. That's what I'm doing today. This is not what I expected to do, but hey, man, that's the joy of Japan in general. And yeah, this fucking vantage point I'm at, this little, central Tokyo, fucking, I've never stayed like this central before. It's kind of absurd how close everything is, how accessible everything is. And then we'll see from here. I mean, I could take a train back, but every time I noticed a train going by across the Sumida River back toward the direction where I would need to go, pretty much any time of the evening when I see one go by, it is so packed full of people. It's just so packed. And I'm like, I would rather not do that if I don't have to, if I could avoid it. Like, what the hell? But we'll see. I mean, I'll probably just walk. But man, I just love that I just keep walking around. I mean, this has been happening for weeks now. You just walk around and something cool happens. Who needs a plan? Fuck a plan. But yeah, shit, that's such a weird Tokyo Tower, Skytree. But I feel like that must be a relatively uncommon phenomenon. Because even here, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's not quite perfect. I can't quite properly see the Tokyo Tower right now. And once it comes back into view, Skytree is quickly disappearing behind a building. I don't even know if this really counts. There's got to be better ones than this. But yeah, I don't know. I just assumed they were really far away from each other. I'll tell you, there's no better way to learn geography than to just walk around. You really do get a sense of where everything is in relation to each other, way more so than with trains. With trains, nothing sticks in my brain. I never know what's going on. But yeah, I also noticed, before I started walking this direction, my other idea, just doing vague looks on Google Maps, was if I went the other way, if I did keep going toward the bay. Because this little mini island I'm on is not unique in the sense that everything down here is weird little islands. Little bridges between little islands, and they're just like a little neighborhood, but the whole neighborhood is an island. And they seem really cool. And it's like, okay, I could go down to this one, and then this one, and then this one. And then there appears to be some kind of park that goes out into the bay. How accessible is it? Can I get there on foot? I don't know. But then I realized each of these little journeys, they do add up. Because I was like, wait, there's Haneda Airport. I also thought that was way further away. And then there's, like, Yokohama. And my final Airbnb in Japan is in Yokohama. And by islands, I mean, yeah, like they're mega developed. It's certainly not an island like Robinson Crusoe. This is an island like the Jetsons, if they had islands. Do people even live on the surface in the Jetsons? How does the Jetsons work? The Jetsons' house was in space, right? I don't know. Who cares? But also, it made me realize the other nice thing is Yokohama's not far. But I mean, that's, I don't know, it's all so deceptive. Because I was thinking, like, yeah, all this is very close and very accessible. And, like, if I get tired of Yokohama, it seems like I can very easily just take the train to wherever else I want to go from there, no problem. However, on a map, it looks like where I'm going to be is about the same distance as when I was in Chiba, just on the other side of the bay. And Chiba felt kind of far away. Chiba felt too far away to comfortably just travel into Tokyo on a whim. But maybe it wasn't. I mean, to be fair, I didn't try, since I was only there for 5 days. Since I'm going to be in Yokohama longer, maybe I will bail out. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll just go the other way into the wild blue yonder. Who the fuck knows? In summary, though, fucking Japan is amazing to walk around in, and it's just beautiful as shit. There's a nice boat going under this bridge, and all these bridges are very low. No big boats are getting through here, that's for sure, but I love that they're very low bridges. It feels very comfortable for me as a scaredy-pants pedestrian. Not like those bridges in Akigawa that were scaring the piss out of me. But anyway, speaking of bridges, with bridges comes traffic, and with traffic comes noise. So let's pause the podcasting until I get to the Tokyo Tower, or thereabouts. Psst. Hey. It's Keith from the future. I came back here the next day, and I found the exact spot. The exact spot you can stand where you can see the Tokyo Tower to your left through these buildings and the Skytree to your right. Also between some buildings, but much bigger, easier view. You really gotta be in this exact spot. So next episode, I don't know shit about Google Maps, but I'm like, oh, let's see. It's got your location and it's got fucking coordinates. So I read off the exact coordinates. So check next episode if you want the coordinates. But for this episode, let's try this, because the other thing is there's a code. Share a short code for this location. So, I mean, presumably, this is an evergreen code, right? This is, in fact, where I am. So let's try this. And if something doesn't work with this code, like I said, the exact coordinates are in the next episode. But let's do both. Why not? As a backup, in case you care, in case you happen to care about where this exact location is with this view, because I don't know, I think this is pretty neat. So the code that Google Maps claims will take you straight here, all the letters are capitals, and it is 8Q7XMQ7H plus sign CH. So, yeah, give that a go. And maybe there are all kinds of places where you can see both the Skytree and the Tokyo Tower at the same time. But I don't know, maybe not. Maybe this is actually a cool thing. Maybe it's not. Eh, whatever. Either way, that's the code. Now back to the episode. Whoopsie doodle. I had headphones in, and I was like, oh, I gotta pull out the recorder. I gotta describe this beautiful moment. Then I realized once I took out my headphones and turned on my recorder, it's like, oh shit, I'm actually next to all the traffic in the world. There's an overpass, there's a second overpass, there's two streets. Shit. Maybe though, as I walk away from the overpass, it won't be as bad. Because, yeah, I was just walking along, and there's still, like, the mist hanging in the air, and it just makes the city look so awesome. And I stopped in a washroom, and there was a can. Somebody left just an empty beer can on the top of one of the stalls in the men's room, which, I mean, that happens not often, but once in a while. I'd say every, I don't even think every week, maybe every 2 weeks. You see that? It's just a little rare. But I saw that, and I did kind of think, like, oh, you know, this wouldn't be the worst day ever to go to a convenience store and get a fucking strong zero and just walk around with a buzz because, you know, the beauty of the city and the lights and everything and the mist, and it makes the lights look even better. But then I was like, nah, don't do that, dude. I mean, you've already learned your lesson this trip about drinking. And then as it starts to wear off and I'm trying to walk back to the fucking hostel, it's just a pure misery. There'd be nothing fun about that. But then I was by some kind of a construction type area that had one of those machines that I only ever seem to find in the airport or the train station of, you know, where it drops the little cup with the drink in it. It's just my favorite thing ever. So I just got a little coffee in the little cardboard cup, which is kind of inconvenient. I've got the cup now just tucked away in my book bag so I can throw it away at some point. You know, it's way more convenient to have a can and just be able to throw it away. But I love those little cups. So I got that instead, walking around with my little cardboard cup, sipping on coffee, walking around, beautiful city. But then I kind of got caught behind the aforementioned overpass, and I was just walking along, overpass on one side, some kind of closed garden on the other side. And I was stuck behind the overpass for a while, and I couldn't figure out how to get across it until I finally saw a streetlight in the distance. And I got there with a big bunch of people waiting to cross, and I turned the corner, and boom, there's the old Tokyo Tower right there in the distance down the street, all lit up with the haze, and it just makes the sky around it look red, and it's just like fucking awesome. And it's one of those things, like, I mean, the Tokyo Tower, you know, the reason I never went there before is I'm just like, I don't know, whatever, just a landmark, you know? Maybe I'll stumble upon it one day, maybe I won't. I guess I was just like hoping for a day like this to happen. It didn't seem worth like going directly there because I'm not going to go up in it because I'm scared of heights. And I just much prefer passing through neighborhoods rather than going to a distinct place. But yeah, I guess I'm glad I waited because it all worked out perfect today. Like, it just looks so good. And you just get that, like, oh yeah, you realize deep down, like, I guess I have seen that tower a lot of times. And I guess I have seen it referenced a lot of times. I guess I'm a little more familiar with it than I thought I was, just through movies and TV shows and fucking whatever, random YouTube clips and stuff. And it looks so good. And now I can kind of, it's, the tower's disappeared from view a bit, but I can see it reflecting off this building. So I get to see the tower reflection view. It's like, fucking, all right, cool. So anyway, I'm very close to the tower, but this is a loud neighborhood, so. Let's shut down the recorder again, but man, what a perfect little stroll. Very close, too. Way closer than I thought it was going to be. I was afraid, you know, towers. I got a bad history between the CN Tower and the Skytree of, that tower's not that far, and then having to walk for 3 hours. This was like a half-hour walk, maybe 40 minutes. No problem. Damn, dog. The Tokyo Tower is pretty fucking beautiful. I've heard people say, that newfangled sky tree, you know, I'll stick with the Tokyo Tower. Tokyo Tower for me. And I don't know. I can't say I got a specific favorite, obviously. The sky tree is cool to me because of my journeys to get to the sky tree back in the day. But it is, like, ostentatious. It's so big that it's like otherworldly, you know, like I was saying the other day in the episode when I went to the sky tree, it's like an affront to God. It's like creepy. It's like, what the fuck is this thing? Where the Tokyo Tower, sort of not that big. I mean, I say that coming from the land of the CN Tower, you know, so it's not small, but it doesn't feel crazy. It just feels like a tower, you know, it's like, that's what a tower does, man. A tower is supposed to be tall and stick up in the sky. But it's not to that point that you're like, how does this even exist? What madman made this? So the Tokyo Tower kind of looks like the Eiffel Tower, and it's all lit up orange. I don't know if it's always this or if this is just for today. It's mostly orange with a little bit of yellow. And the way I entered, it's behind a temple. The rest of this place is dark. There's no lights. I think I see lights, but they're certainly not on. So you walk into this, it's just a busy street behind me, but you walk into this courtyard and it's pitch black. And I think that makes the Tokyo Tower look extra cool. Like, it's so dark that I'm like, is this even am I supposed to be here? But I just followed some other tourists and walked in with them. And it's like, all right, yeah, it's fine. And yeah, then there's this temple. It appears to be closed. Yeah, I don't actually know how to get to the tower from here. It's still a little ways. But yeah, it's real pretty, man. Real pretty. And also on the way here, I stopped in a 7-Eleven to see if they had my precious soy ginger barbecued mackerel thing. And the first one did not. However, there was another 7-Eleven on the way, and they did. And again, they only had one, just one. And as I was fumbling around with my IC card to pay for this thing, the guy working there like flipped it over to look at the ingredients on the back. And it's like, I think he, maybe he didn't quite know what it was either. Like, what the hell is this thing? It's like, yeah, I know, it's delicious, right? Oh, maybe this temple is open, but there's people inside. They seem to be sitting. Some people are standing in the back. I don't know, I'll leave them to it. Whatever's going on in there. I think I've had enough creepy temples for one visit. It's like a monk standing at the front. And you can't go around the temple. It's blocked off. I don't know. Maybe these are two different things. But whatever, I'll just keep wandering around. I'll get to the tower eventually. And I mean, it's a little weird getting to a tower, you know, because then you're just under it, staring up. It's always like a weird experience. This is probably the money melon right now. This is the key best part. I like how they've kept this place dark. It really does help the tower pop. Pop! Looks fucking cool. Looks cool as fuck. Alright, I got to Tokyo Tower, and as with all towers, there is diminishing returns as you get closer. If you're not going to go inside and pay to go up, you know, it gets to the point where you're craning your neck and, yeah, you start to feel dizzy. And it's just like, what am I even looking at? The pictures don't turn out right anymore, everything's all messed up. But, I mean, still cool, but from a slight distance is definitely the peak spot, I think. And then from there, I think I don't think I recovered as well as I thought from staying up till 5 in the morning two nights ago. You know, I slept pretty normal yesterday, but I think I didn't quite catch up because definitely feeling it, feeling the fatigue. Where if I was staying at my own Airbnb, this is where I would just shotgun a coffee and power my way through. But I don't want to drink coffee because I don't want to get up in the middle of the night and possibly wake people up. Again, there's nobody in that hostel right now, or there wasn't when I left, but I presume it being Friday night. When I get back, there's gonna be people. So I'm trying to dehydrate a little. It really does work though, even me with my tiny bladder. I just pee once before I go to bed, and then I pee when I wake up, and it's like, oh, I'm like a normal person. How about that? But I was like, shit, I don't know about this. Maybe I should take the train. But even just starting to look at the trains on my little Google Maps thing, it's just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's quite a few train lines that go approximately near enough to my Airbnb. But I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't know at all. They got little symbols on Google Maps to differentiate them from each other, but they don't use those symbols in the actual train station. So I went in one of the big major train stations, and it was one of those deals where there's a bunch of shops and stuff right next to the train tracks. Which looks very visually beautiful, like Bioueno is like that too. This might be the same, maybe it all connects up. But I was kind of realizing as I walked, like this is a little weird though, because you are right by the train. It's visually beautiful, but the actual environment is a little less pleasant because there's a train right there. But hey, whatever, I guess there's noise all over in the world. But yeah, that station, I was just like, Jesus, I don't know about this, fuck this. I don't think I want to deal with this. Maybe I will just walk. But then I'm also looking at how far it is, and it's like, Jesus, though, that's a long walk. So then I remembered, wait a minute, maybe I can use my teachings from Hakata Station in Fukuoka of not necessarily going to the big, giant superstation. Why not just find one of the lines that goes near my Airbnb and just walk to the next station? So I'm walking to a station now. Higashi Ginza Station that only has two lines, so I just pick one of them. Either one, it looks like it'll take me where I'm going. I just gotta make sure I go the right way. Just try to go east and not west. whether I can do that, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's like stumbling around the city and not quite knowing where you are and figuring out how stuff works and making mistakes. That's kind of fun. But getting lost in the subway and going the wrong way and having to backtrack and wait for trains, I don't find that fun at all. I hate that. Don't want to do that. But in this limited capacity, it's all right because I can't get too lost. But anyway, the reason I'm pulling out the recorder now, I was just going to wait till I get to the end of this adventure. But I just wanted to mention this walk, as I mentioned with the station, Ginza. I had to look up the neighborhood because I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it turns out it's Ginza. I've heard of Ginza before. I've been adjacent to here, never quite here before. And it really is just a row of just enormous, giant, high-end stores, quote-unquote high-end. I don't know if they really are high-end, like pop culture high-end, the low end of the high-end, where it reminds me of like Fifth Avenue, I think it's called, in Manhattan, where basically there's a lot of doormen, a lot of guys wearing fucking white gloves that'll help hold the door open for you as you go in. And it seems like, I don't know, all you can buy is like handbags and watches and suits, fur coats. I don't know, it's the kind of shit where I'm like, I don't know how any of this exists. Why are these stores even in business? Like, I feel like if you ever bought anything from a store like that, get your fucking head together, mate. That's so insane. It's like just the definition of useless, overpriced shit. It's just such a different world from anywhere that I live. And I don't know, I mean, is this one of those things where it's not like I'm just like, I don't know, fucking yelling from the gutter, oh, you rich people. Like, we could have lived that life. My parents are both real estate lawyers. My mom owns so much property. There's money. We could have been these people. But we're not, because these people have completely warped fucking senses of what anything that's useful or valuable in life. I don't know. Because again, that's what I was saying, it's like pop culture high-end. If you're truly high-end, surely you're going somewhere else. You're not going where there's people everywhere. You're not going where there's rabble. This is like, it's the worst of every world. It's just like, I want to feel like I'm a rich man. I want to feel like I'm a fancy man. Why don't you fuck right off? How about that? But anyway, yeah, I think I'm tired probably. It's making me cranky. So I'm gonna go hit this subway station and see if this plan works. All right, well, that didn't super work, but it didn't not work necessarily. So since there was only two lines in that station, I was like, ah, whatever, I'll just go in the first one and just see what happens. So the best I could do, the other line probably would have been better. The best I could do on this one, let's see, Ningyocho, Ningyocho station, is where I ended up. Only four stops, about 2.5 kilometers, not a big chop out. But I noticed that it stops right across the river, right across the Sumida from that museum that I'm always giving shit to. So I'm like, ah, oh, that's pretty dang close to my Airbnb. And it's not actually late, it's like 8:30. So I can have a nice little stroll through this neighborhood, which seems very nice, not full of handbag and watch stores, notably. Take a nice little stroll across the river. Maybe I'll even see if Daily Yamazaki has any toward the end of the day bakery for me to finish off the day. And yeah, even though I only made it four stops, it was like less than 200 yen. It was a very cheap ride. But even then, I mean, that wasn't the most crowded train I've ever been on, but by four stops, I was getting pretty antsy to get off. It's like, that's fine, let's get out of here. I'm a walking man. Walking is deep in my soul. Walking that 2.5 kilometers would not have fucking killed me. But I mean, as an experiment goes, I think that was okay. Because the basic philosophy did work. I did get on a train that was going the right way. You know, if I had just spent a little more time paying attention to what I was doing, I think that totally would have worked. But yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, the subway is just not that pleasant. The only subway I can think of, well, both Vancouver and Montreal, I don't hate. The Vancouver one has a lot of above ground. You get to watch the city go by. And Montreal, I don't know, it's just nice. It's weirdly cozy. Really cool architecture in a lot of the stations. I like the French announcements. Generally though, yeah, subways. Subways are certainly a much shittier experience than just walking. Just walking is so nice. It looks so good. This neighborhood's got all these like paper lanterns all lit up. Oh, and a McDonald's. Very traditional. This sushi place looks I'm walking by a sushi place that looks extremely like the one I went to in Chiba. With, oh, here's a test. Did I forget your name already, my friend? Starts with an N. Starts with an N. Oh, whatever, I'm tired. Deep in my brain, I remember your name. Norihiko. I'm gonna say that's his name. I can't look it up right now, though, because I don't have internet, but I'm pretty sure. Anyway, whatever. There's another adventure down. I've finally been to the Tokyo Tower. Not bad. Pretty cool. The approach really is just neat. It's just neat. Even like as I was leaving, to turn around and see it as you go. Peek in between these buildings and stuff. Not bad, but definitely go at night, unless you're going up in it, which I guess most people do. In which case, maybe you should go in the day so you can see stuff. I don't know. Maybe I just won't give advice. How about that? Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.